Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour, brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate it. We have a couple of great guests coming your way today. We check in with local author Rollin Wengert to see what projects he has going. Then, he was only on a few weeks ago, but we have him back so that you get a full interview this time instead of part of one because of that dang technical difficulty. Artist Edward Ike will be on to talk about the forms of art that he loves to make. By the way, thank you, a special thank you early in the show already to the Sky Lounge. They are one of the sponsors. That's also where I will be Friday night hosting trivia with a football theme. But the Sky was open on Labor Day, and that's where we were able to conduct our interviews for today. You may hear a little bit of background noise and so forth. We, you know, cleaned it up as best we could, but thank you to the Sky because at least we had a place that we could get together on Monday, not only to have fun talking about arts and entertainment, but also to celebrate Labor Day.
Time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner. It's here.
So long, hump day and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty. We can't wait for Friday. So a day early, we start the party.
Oh, lift 'em high indeed. This week's the toast of the weekend eve goes out, well, pretty much to Mother Nature, just because I like the feeling of fall. We're into what they call the meteorological fall, September, October, November. Officially, fall is going to be in a couple of weeks, but it's already starting to feel that way. All the kids are back to school and acclimated and so forth, and things are getting underway with, you know, college football, high school football, and professional football starting tonight. It's just a good feeling when fall rolls around and days are going to get shorter, yeah. But we're also going to have a few months of those trees looking just absolutely beautiful. Mother Nature, we toast you for making it feel like fall. The Weekend Eve Toast has been brought to you by Ale Hop Brewery Tours. No matter what brewery in Sioux Falls is your favorite, Ale Hop Brewery Tours lets you and your friends choose any or all of the 8 local breweries. Best part? They take care of the driving in a very cool van that sits up to 6. Book your private tours online at alehopbrewerytours.com. If you're already out and about on the weekend, hop on one of their public tours. For more info, call 605-777-2183. That is 605-777-2183. I would recommend this tour to anyone, beer lover or not. Thanks for the great experience. One of the great things that's been said about Ale Hop Brewery Tours, where micro fans meet micro brews. One more thing that we do every week.
Honorable mention.
Something that made me smile, tickle my funny bone, slap my knee silly, just give me a good feeling. Anything along that line is what makes the honorable mention. And it's personal this time. Honorable mention goes out to my sister and brother-in-law. Dave and Diane Wartman have now been married for 50 years. Yes, the marriage lasted 50 years despite the little candle boy whose wick went out and he couldn't reach the top candle. Thankfully, his older brother helped him out. So, Dave and Diane Wartman in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, love you, love your entire family, and thanks for being people that enjoy arts and entertainment. And love you.
you are the coveted winners of the Dave Holly Hour's Honorable Mention. Coming up later in the show, our Take Two interview with Edward Ike, the artist. But coming up in just a moment, Rollin Wangert, here on the Dave Holly Hour.
Hi, my name is Jesse Moffitt, and I'm not a piano player. I'm a comic magician and hypnotist. I've been performing for over 20 years. I've performed at many events, corporate events, holiday parties, post-prom parties, graduation parties, state and county fairs, festivals, just about anything you can imagine. The funniest thing about the Magic Act is that I use a ton of audience participation, and that can make things really interesting.
Put it down the front of your shirt. Stop being so, I'm not, my hand won't follow.
The best thing about the hypnosis show is that the volunteers and their imaginations really make it a blast.
Holy crap, dude, did you see what you just did? You could do that possibly to girls.
For booking information, go to Jesse Moffitt Entertainment on Facebook. That's JESSEMOFFITT. Or call 605-929-0964.
Great to have you along today. We certainly appreciate you listening, no matter how you do it, no matter what platform. It really doesn't matter. I'm not making $1 million off of this. I make enough just to cover the expenses that it needs to make the show happen. But, of course, that doesn't mean you can't send a contribution. Slid that in really well, didn't we? All right. Joining us. Third time?
Second. Well, I did a third time,
We'll go 2.5 on this one for you, Rollin.
But you lost the one that I was on with.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so yes, two. This is Rollin Wangert's second time on the Dave Holly Hour. Great to have you along. The first time we ever got together, we were just talking about your authoring that you've been doing and so forth. You've come along since that with a couple more projects.
I have.
Yeah, because first off, it was Caveat Ties,
mm-hmm.
which is your trivia team number. Just going to put name and number together. The trivia name you use mm-hmm. when we play here at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota, where we happen to be recording today's program. So that was the beginning of it. Since then, you published something during the pandemic.
Yes.
And now we've got some other stuff coming up, too. First, let's talk about what you published during the pandemic then.
Mm-hmm. And I did mention it that I was working on it the last time we got together. Doomsday Relic is the name of the book. It's geared towards younger audiences.
I was going to say, wasn't that the I always hate to use this word. It sounds so negative when you do it, but the graphic one, correct?
No, this one's not graphic. This is a novel. I did put out like a graphic. I was just playing around with word balloons. It's
okay.
Like a pictureless novel. And that's called Headhopper. And I did put that out too, I think, just pretty much after we spoke. So that was kind of an experimental thing.
I had something
I did
in my head. Okay, yeah. then tell me about the other novel that you put out then.
Okay, yeah, Doomsday Relic.
Okay.
It kind of goes back and forth in time to modern days England,
mm-hmm.
About an American kid who goes to England for a fencing tournament, and I named each of the prominent characters after one of my sons. So the main character is Hudson, and
all
that's
right.
my middle son, and then a knight is Sir Byron, my oldest Byron.
All right.
And then there's a Friar Preston, my youngest son.
Okay.
And so anyways, it goes back and forth between the time of William the Conqueror, or when mm-hmm. he was a kid, a 13-year-old, because William the Conqueror actually inherited his duchy, his duke status,
right?
When he was like real young, and so it focuses on William as 13, and there, him and his knights go and defeat at Stonehenge a dragon and a dark army. And then it later goes back into the future where Hudson is getting ready to possibly awaken the army. And this is book one, and I'm still working on book two. So it's actually, I don't do sequels very much and series very much, but this one, I found it a good resting spot to turn it into two books. So I'm still working on the second book. The first one is out, and I plan on selling it here coming up shortly. I've been selling it. It's online. You can find it, Doomsday Relic, on Amazon. But I'll also be at Supercon this year selling it as well.
So. Not far off anymore.
Exactly.
Just a few weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be great. And we'll get to talking about that in just a little bit. So, okay, I understand, you know, the three characters being your son's names.
Yes.
What made you choose fencing? Just the swordsmanship of that time?
Well, actually, this story I came up when I was a kid. So it's always been the fencing tournament, and it's going to be sword play for, you know, Hudson has to go to England as a fencing tournament, you know, and I've just always been interested, did a lot of research. I've kind of wanted to do fencing, never did. And my son Hudson actually for a long time wanted to try fencing as well. So
it was a natural.
It was a natural, yeah. Exactly. So,
you know, and it's funny how you mentioned things like that because it, they always say, you know, write what you know about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's fun. I was going to ask you, regardless, you know, how you came up with some of the ideas and so forth. But, you know, for you, first of all, you're a talented writer. You, you know, have ideas all the time that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But what's it take to focus and narrow it down and get to that point?
I'll let you know when I master that. Because, no, I have the tendency to go from project to project, even right now. Just trying to finish the sequel to Doomsday Relic while I have this other project, which we're going to talk about soon, trying to devote to that. And then I also have another novel I've been working on as well. And I've got lots of ideas in my head, and it is hard to just focus and settle. No, you need to work on this one. You need to get it done. That's actually one of the hardest things. Coming up with ideas for me isn't as big a deal, but focusing.
Now, you have a full-time job.
Yes.
Right. So are you one of those that goes by what so many writers say, that I have to write every day no matter what?
No.
You can't with a full-time job, can you? I mean, and, you know, family.
I could, but I get lazy and undisciplined and just tired at the end of the day, especially since I got a new job. Last time I spoke with you, I was just ending a job at Macross and Boys Ranch where I worked overnight. And that was great for writing because I could work while I could write while I was at work.
Right.
Now I have a job where I actually have to physically do stuff all day. I can't stop and write. And it's a good place to work, but it's, you know, I can't focus on writing, so I have to do it on my time then. And sometimes when I get my time, I want to do what I want to do at any given time. So.
Yeah, but doesn't mean you're not thinking about things all that time, though. Mm-hmm. You know, and as to how you could develop a new character, add to you know, something you've already written. Mm-hmm. One of the things I want to ask you about this, though, is it seems like the present day, past century type thing is very big right now. Why do you think that is? You know, because we've got all these shows that show people in present, and then it's all this flashback and flash forwards as well. Now, for me, that is actually easier to read in a book. I get confused sometimes where they are in TV shows and the series, as well as movies. But what do you think is the draw right now for that?
It's harder for me to speak to the bigger picture, why people get into it. For me, I think there's just something interesting about tying the past into the present. And, I mean, you get all these ancestries.com, and just people are curious about what draws us and how the actions of the past have affected the present. And then there's the whole debate versus destiny versus free will, or you know, and all that stuff, and how is the past tied into the present, and how it all ties together into creating purpose and what we're either destined to do or choose to do, and all those tricky questions on there.
Well, you know, during the pandemic, Carrie and I got hooked on one of those that's like that, and it was dealt with Scotland. And we're not Scottish, but by gosh, after watching all that, I'm thinking about getting a kilt.
I know.
Because you get into it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just like when I got into all the history of William the Conqueror and him being such a young, basically a young duke, and having all this power at such a thing at 13. And then being the debate is, was he actually promised England at the time, like he said he was when he went to invade? And from that time, you know, people in England are still kind of sore right now that of the Norman invasion and think, oh, that's not, they just came and invaded our countries. All deal with that, I think. Yeah. Oh, you came in and invaded us. And some people are still sore about that. And like the Doomsday Book, it's a book that William the Conqueror wrote or collected or whatever. It just, it's, I've read through that. It's really, really thick, but it's basically, this person has this lands and all this is his property. It's kind of a census of that time. And I guess it's legally binding somewhat in England still to this day.
Wow.
A book from 1,000 years ago. So
some people hang on to it, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, exactly.
There's no doubt about it. So when you come to this point in writing, mm-hmm. and you've got several projects going on, do you go, okay, you know, we talked about sometimes you got to say to yourself, I got to buckle down and get something going. But do you also just kind of like to go, well, you know, project A is, at least I feel good about that. Project B, I really better do something where it's going to be gone. Or do you just kind of, you know, rotate them on a roulette wheel?
I guess I'm probably more rotating on a roulette wheel because I don't have a deadline. I kind of have a deadline for the second Doomsday Relic book because there's people who are waiting for the sequel.
Right.
And I need to, and I've been working on that a lot this summer, but not as much as I wanted to. My goal was to have it done by SuperCon so I could sell that as well. But that just isn't going to happen now.
Well, the other thing is you are self-published.
Yes, I am self-published.
Right, so your deadline is for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to sit there and deal with an agent or a publisher, editor, anything along that line. That has to be freeing in many ways.
Somewhat. Sometimes I'd do better if I did have a fast deadline.
Okay.
And the pressure, if I had a hard deadline, I would probably do better because sometimes I'm the person who needs a hot iron to get moving.
Is it also one of those that, you know, if that were the case, you'd probably have some advance, you know, dollars?
Yes,
toward
absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely,
yeah.
too.
Do you dream about that? Or are you satisfied with what you're doing?
Always I dream about that. It would be interesting. And so to, you know, have something I could fall back on. And like I said, I've researched the traditional publishing way, and I probably haven't tried hard enough if I even want to get that way. Because like I've heard, you have to have probably hundreds of rejections before you get foot in the door.
And, yeah.
And then also I'm not as genre focused, so it's harder to know who to sell it to. Like my stuff, who do you sell it all to, is the audience is very different from like a noir mystery novel,
mm-hmm.
a historical fiction, a sci-fi kind of Quantum Leap book, and then now a younger middle grade young adult, kind of like in that 13 to 15 age range dragon fantasy book, modern fantasy, urban fantasy, I think some people call that genre today. So
all right, so now let's mm-hmm. talk about the current project, Brave Noir World.
Yes,
N-O-I-R, like noir films, mm-hmm. and so forth. What brought this about, and tell us about the storyline and what's going to take place?
Well, this is from a short story I wrote that I wanted to put into contests. I put it into like one contest, didn't get anything back for it, but I liked it so much. I've done a lot of short stories too, and some of them I'm trying to figure out what to do with it. And then I ran into a friend on Twitch, and he is a streamer and he also is a comic book artist, and he focuses like on mental health with his streams as well. But the idea is, well, he was wanting to do comic book art, and I'm like, well, I have a good short story that would make a great comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, yeah, it would. And so we've been talking back and forth about trying to make this happen, and he's kind of devoted his time more to becoming an artist. He does commissions and focusing on Twitch streaming, and he also has a band and music and whatnot, and so we were trying to figure out what good way that we can get this comic book to actually get off the ground and get going. So we decided to try a Kickstarter to see if we can get the funds needed in order to get this project rolling and moving forward, mm-hmm. so we can devote the time it has to the art. I've already have the story and the panels drawn out. of kind of how the story will go and broken down. So I just need someone to do the art.
What's the story about?
Okay. The story, it's apocalyptic future. Basically, the whole world has been decimated through nuclear nuclear war. And most of the big cities have been destroyed, except for Minneapolis is the only big city that was left standing. But and it's the capital of the world now. And this story takes place in Sioux Falls. Now, every person is regulated, and they have to have artificial arms and legs and eyes. And everybody can only see in black and white, hence the kind of noir
right thing.
So this focuses on a detective named Oliver Gray, who is just a private eye, who kind of wants to just do his own thing and just stay low in the light and whatnot. And there's two factions, the Feds, and then there's another one called the Natals. They're natural-born people who do not have artificial eyes or arms or legs, and the Feds are out to make sure everybody gets hooked up to the system. And the point of the system is, if people actually ever go to war again or have big conflicts, everybody can be shut down, and then the conflicts can be resolved. Exactly. But the Natals don't want to be part of the system. And then so Oliver Gray's sitting there, and then all of a sudden one of those dames, what's the term for the femme fatale comes in,
okay,
and was like, I want you to find the Natals for me. And then he doesn't want to get involved at all. And then through a bunch of murder and mayhem, he gets sucked into the crime world. He didn't necessarily want to be part of.
Now, you mentioned when you were giving the description of the basically robotic, you didn't say whether they had a heart or not.
They have the natural human hearts.
Okay.
But so it's just their arms, their limbs, and their eyes. And so...
So they still have souls?
Yes. And so basically, it's like the police can go around and just shoot them with a shutdown gun, is what it's called. They just shut down. Their arms and legs and eyes will stop working. And so, but there's also a massive shutdown center in Minneapolis that will shut the whole world down if need be.
All right. So you've got a Kickstarter on this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How far along are you?
On the Kickstarter campaign?
Right.
I've got everything drawn out. I'm going to start the Kickstarter on October 1st.
Oh, all right.
The first day of SuperCon.
SuperCon, yeah. Yes. I always wanted to say Comic-Con, but it's SuperCon because it's here locally.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what are you looking at? You know, we talked about deadlines earlier, but obviously you've got to have some sort of a time frame that you're thinking of as to when you would like to get that published, especially, you know, when it comes to a group of people like those that are involved in SuperCon, that, you know, you're going to want to hit some time frame so that their interest is piqued as well.
Yes. I want to have it published. My ideal would be it'd be ready by the next year SuperCon, and I could release it then. So
that'd be fantastic.
That would be great.
All right. So what are you going to do at SuperCon this year then?
This kind, I'm just going to sell my books as normal. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also going to let people know about the Kickstarter campaign. And if they want to help and donate, they can certainly do that. And you can find it on the Kickstarter. I have a link on my Facebook page, which is at Roland Wingert, my author page, not personal page, but... Or if you go to Kickstarter, you can search for it by typing in Brave Noir,
N-O-I-R. Yeah.
New Brave Noir World. Based, it's kind of a play of words on Brave New World.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Look forward to that and consider a contribution, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Because I want to see that happen.
Yes,
you know,
me too.
It's always fun chatting with you. We've become friends over the since we first met. Have really enjoyed the friendship and always hearing about what you have going on. So what are some of those other projects that are in the reeds at this point?
Oh, gosh. I'm still also working. I haven't worked on it in a while, but kind of a time loop serial killer thriller. So about a man who just lived the same day over trying to solve a serial killer, but... each day something different happens and it's not the same killings happen each time, and so that's a little mystery there. And I think those three projects are really consuming my time right now, the sequel. So, yeah.
Do you consider the sequel just to be the end of it then? Because you said you found a great spot for it to pause and you know, have a second one come up.
Yes, the sequel will be the end.
We're not looking at a series.
I'm not a big series kind of guy. Yeah. So,
what about bringing back other characters, though? You consider that?
I think about maybe making sequels and prequels to Caveat Ties.
Okay.
I love that book.
Right.
Particularly a lot. And so I have ideas for both a prequel and a sequel. So I left a thread hanging in the first one.
Right.
Where I could answer it in the prequel. And I left it hanging on purpose, too. So,
what's it take to self-publish? Because you said you researched it, mm-hmm. Thought about the traditional way, but, the rejections, and you hear about that from every author. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then there's the publishing companies that say, ooh, we lost out on that one.
Yes.
Because somebody ends up with a bestseller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what is it about this self-publishing that you enjoy, and what would you give as advice to others that wish to do that?
Well, I do like formatting and just playing around with formatting, and I'm getting better at it with it as I go. But one thing is just pick a self-publishing site. KDP is Amazon's Kindle Direct Publishing.
Mm-hmm.
That one is... it's very simple, user-friendly, and they give you an ISBN number, and so you don't have to pay for one yourself.
Okay.
There are definitely advantages or disadvantages to paying for one or not paying for one. I mean, with Amazon, if you go through KDP and get the free ISBN, you have to publish that ISBN through them. You can't enter and then take it to a different self-publishing company and use that ISBN number. And so there's that advantage. ISBN numbers cost $125 per ISBN number, or you can bulk buy them, like get five for $500 or something like, I don't exactly know the rates. But if you're going to do quite a few books, the cost to buy ISBN numbers can really add up fast.
No doubt. Yeah, that would take a lot.
But yeah, and then there's Lulu is another self-publishing. Barnes & Noble has one now. But basically, the thing is, you just have to follow their rules or the standard rules on how to format it, do all that work. You can create a cover design. You can pay people to do that part, too. In fact, I've done that for a few people. Like, I've just formatted their interiors for them. And so that's one thing you can do. And then you just go online and go to their site, fill out all the information, and set your price. And it's pretty simple, actually, to self-publish.
Sounds like, yeah.
But making it easy also means there's a lot more competition, and you have to do all the marketing, and you have to do everything yourself.
Yeah. There's nobody out there saying, hey, you got a solid book coming your way.
Exactly.
So you got to toot your own horn.
Exactly. You have to go on like great shows like the Dave Holly Show and say, hey, I'm writing some books. And
so. So you know the routine, because you're not only have you been a guest before, but also... a faithful listener, to which I certainly appreciate. Thank you. But we usually have a couple of questions. Well, I know a lot of your hobbies and so forth.
Yes.
So tying into the authoring, when are we going to have a Mozart book?
I got the one, Saida.
Yeah.
That is a Mozart. When am I going to do another one? I don't know. I've had thoughts. I thought if I was going to ever do a nonfiction book, I would actually do a nonfiction book on Colorado. And I think we talked about
that last one.
And so that would be, maybe someday. But nonfiction is a different beast. It's a little, I think it would be tougher for me, making sure you're getting all your sources and your facts right. Because if it's fiction, you can be like, yeah, it's a fudge I made on purpose,
And then, of course, there is the thing that we have in common, the love of Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Yes. Do you think we're going to see a fifth? I hear rumors about it.
I've heard it too. They've picked some certain actress to be his
daughter
maybe. So,
I hope so. I mean, just because I miss it,
Yes.
It's one of those, eventually we may have to see a new Indiana Jones, like we've had for 007 with James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, Harrison Ford looks pretty similar no matter what age he seems to be in life. And I think he's, from what I've read, he still wants to do one.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's what I've heard too.
Yeah. Yeah, and that would be great.
He is starting to get a little creaky old lately, a little bit. It would be interesting to see how it would work.
So. But I would still go for it.
Because, I would probably watch it too, definitely.
You know, a lot of people talk about shows that ended up being series and franchise movies mm-hmm. and so forth. And that's one of those that, you know, if we do get a new Indiana Jones, as long as it's a good actor, it's yes. still going to be good. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, think of how many King Kong movies there have been in production over the time that they've been making movies. Think of how many Tarzan shows there mm-hmm. were, and people still went to those, you know, and despite what critics would come out with, mm-hmm. you know, because I think that that's something that critics forget about is just how much sometimes people want to see a particular type of show
yes.
or read a particular mm-hmm. type of book.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's... you know, it would be great to see another Indiana Jones or something of that spirit, too. I would like even I think of The Mummy kind of was mm-hmm. something that was fun and doesn't necessarily take itself too seriously
right.
as well is always going to be a good time to watch, you know. And it's when somebody takes something seriously or does a movie that's supposed to be serious, you kind of limit your audience in one sense. And maybe that's what I do, too, but. You limit your audience into those who kind of agree with the serious nature upon which you want to tackle it as well. So there's always that balance. It's a tough one to figure out how to.
Yeah, well, I hope it comes out. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, you also come out and play trivia here at the Sky Lounge and Tea.
Yes, that's fun. I enjoy that.
Thank you. Yeah, and we've thrown a few Mozart questions your way, a few Indiana Jones ones. Mm-hmm. But if we did all Mozart, you'd win.
Most likely. I don't think it would be that fair.
Yeah, no, that it wouldn't. All right. In the meantime, where can people get your work?
On Amazon, you can search my name, Rollin, Rollanwengert, Wingert. You can search that. You can follow me on Facebook at Roland Wingert or Instagram. It's at Caveat Ties. And then there's Twitter at Caveat Ties as well. And then you can just follow up and see what I'm working on. And the Kickstarter for this comic book is Brave Noir World. That's mainly where you can find my stuff.
Excellent. And so hopefully people will take note and do so and give to that Kickstarter, because I really want to see that. I'm not a big comic book person, but being a friend of yours, obviously, I want to read first off.
Yes.
But second of all, I love the concept of it. So mm-hmm. really looking forward to that. And I don't know if we'll get out to comic or to SuperCon mm-hmm. or not. But if I do, definitely stop by.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then I just like the noir element to it and the Sioux Falls. I also was just watching The Maltese Falcon last night a little bit.
So classic.
That's a good one.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, Roland, appreciate your time. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being on the Dave Holly Hour. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation. 605-332-9235 or exokairos.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
More arts and entertainment talk on the Dave Holly Hour.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you listening. And, of course, we'd like to talk about all the arts and entertainment in the Sioux Empire. We started talking to this man a while back, had a little technical difficulty. You got to hear the second part of the interview, but you didn't get to hear all the fun stuff that started off at the beginning. Edward Eich, welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour.
Thank you.
It's great to have you because we missed out on some fun stuff. We still covered quite a bit in that second portion, but there's a lot of things that we want to talk about. You know, normally somebody doesn't come back this quickly on the program, but I promised because we had missed something that we'd have you back. But now we have something big we want to talk about as well. In fact, let's just start off with that first.
We're doing a think tank with the Van Art Studio.
Okay.
Artist Think Tank. We're going to do it Saturday, September 25th at 6. It's the art gallery. All artists can bring their chairs. They can bring a refreshment if they like, as long as they don't overindulge
or anything. Right. We want to keep it to civil.
Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt about that. And the Van Art, that is where you have displayed before as well a couple of times.
Yes.
But this is going to be a way to get artists together and basically to brainstorm, isn't it?
Yes. What works for them. Try to help other artists if they need help with anything. What worked for them? What didn't? With art shows where you spend $400, $300 and have to spend X amount of dollars in tables and tents don't really work all the time.
Right. Yeah. It's tough to make the profit on that then, isn't
yeah.
it? A show like that. So this is going to be fun. But what's interesting is that this is, you know, you're a visual artist, but this is for any artist, isn't it?
Yes. We have some photographers and anybody's welcome, any level where they're at. If you're new to the scene, just, you know, throwing some stuff out at home, doing a little bit on Facebook and continuing from there where you can take the next step. She can help you, point you different directions. Other artists can help you.
Well, you know, that's the thing is having a gallery owner there then that will really help people, especially budding artists. And in many ways, even if you've got some established, you're still a budding artist. That'll be nice to find out from somebody that has a gallery as to what types of things they're looking for and what makes it into the gallery versus doesn't.
She doesn't accept every painting that walks through the door. She is, she'll help you and mm-hmm. kind of point you different directions if she needs to. And she wants gallery quality. It's a new gallery this summer. And she's done an awesome job.
I like what you told me last time and the fact that you took in 20 paintings and she chose 6 and then asked you to do 2 more. Was that?
She chose 8 and asked for 2 more and then I brought 3 more. In. Slipped one in.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. But still, you know, and I want to talk about it again. You do anything. You've got abstract art, which is what was primarily featured there, and just absolutely phenomenal. And then you do some restoration work, statue work and so forth. And besides that, then you've decided to put a little carnival thing that we all love in a midway, squirting some paint on a little spinning wheel, and you put that on steroids.
Yes, my paint spinner.
Yeah, your paint spinner is just awesome. I love that. Let's start off first with, we'll continue talking about this right now, though. The Arts Night, September 25th, and we're going to get together, and whoever wants to may join, correct?
Right.
Right. And so we just want to get ideas out there, ideas free-floating. And I think one of the other things we probably want to bring up is, you know, there's so many artists out there that nobody even knows about yet. And that's something that we really need to start focusing on, isn't it?
Most of the artists that she showcases have never been in a gallery show. So she's bringing new talent in, and she kind of likes that.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And what have you seen besides your own work that you liked out there?
That I like down there? I like the other artists.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I even go in there when I'm not at the show. Just so I can check it out and say what's working for them mm-hmm. or where are they going. on compared to what I've done in the past. It's not all abstract. I can do Americana.
Yeah, that's right. The eagles and so forth that you painted, just phenomenal work. But let's start off a little bit with the abstract, because the story you had told in the first part of our interview that despite some technical difficulties that people missed out on, and I tried to tell it as best I could before playing the part of the interview we did have, was the fact that what you love about abstract art is you paint something, you have an idea as to what it represents, but then somebody else will see it and say, no, you know what, that, not to disqualify, because you don't say, well, I meant it to be this, what do you think? You actually want to wait and see what they come up with, and tell the story about the lady that liked it because she thought it was a lake.
Yeah, I posted one on Facebook at Christmas time, and somebody I worked with many years ago contacted me, and she loved it and she wanted it, and she saw fishing outdoors, and that's where she was kind of decorating. She wasn't really sure of the abstract, but she saw fishing and water and trees, and it drew her in, and I put enough pictures on it that it, you know, the edges I painted, and she just, it pulled her in.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. And I think we mentioned this last time as well, is the fact that that's what's so great about art, the interpretation that we all have of it. You like that, that, you know, somebody else can come up with something completely different.
They
than
come
what
up
you
with a great idea. And
right.
Pulls them in for the sale.
True. And what I want to ask you about then is, so you've got an idea of what that abstract represents. Do you ever go around and tell them, or do you just like to sit there and listen to what their interpretation is?
I like their interpretations a little better. What they see in it, I want them to see, keep seeing it. I don't want to distract them from it.
Right. And then do you also go, I can see that.
Yeah.
Good salesmanship, if nothing else, right?
Yeah.
You know, one of the other things that we kind of missed out on from the last time was talking about the restoration that you did back in your hometown of Landrieu.
Yes.
In fact, today we happen to be recording this in the back room of the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota, which is a place that employs me from time to time for hosting trivia. But my wife is along this time, and you two go way back.
Yes.
To grade school at Landrieu.
Yes.
And you've known her a long time, and she's always talked highly about you, and it's now been a pleasure to get to know you as well. But there was an Abraham Lincoln statue that had been vandalized, and then you did a lot of work to kind of, A, put it back together, and also, in my opinion, make it look even better than it had been.
Yeah, he was technically decapitated.
Right.
And nobody could come close to even putting it back together. And I worked at an antique place where we worked on statues, and I thought of it, so I took a day off and went and hunted it down. The superintendent thought I was kind of nuts.
Really?
Because I'm looking for Abraham Lincoln.
You show up to a place and say, hey, is Abe Lincoln here?
I said, I want to take him and see what I can do. And
so it was still at the school, but was it, back in a closet, or?
They stuck him in the art room. They had an old photography enlarger,
mm-hmm.
and they used that as a weight behind it to hold it up.
Oh, wow.
But it got graffitied up, and nobody really did too much to him, and some of the work they tried to do didn't help it. But I stripped it all down, repainted it after I got ahead and put it on there.
Right. What did that process take, and how long did it take?
It took me about 6 months.
Okay. What was step number one?
Back then, you didn't have the research on the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You had to make some phone calls, write some letters, and I could never find anything close to that statue to even compare it, and nobody could find anything.
Well, you know, I think we all have that image of the picture of Abraham Lincoln, the painting that's in most, you know, high school auditoriums and so forth, at least it used to be. But, you know, how tall was this? It wasn't a huge statue.
No, it was less than 4 feet tall. So he's a miniature. But then you had to figure out how tall was he? How tall is he here? How big is his head going to be proportionate? And with the commercial art background, scaling stuff, and it was kind of intense.
So where did you find the head, or was the head still near it?
No, I never did locate any scrap of that. They threw it all away.
So and then how did you come up with that part then?
He's made out of plaster of Paris.
Okay.
So it was easy to kind of strip down, get all the graffiti off of him. And from there I went looking for something close to that size. And I had started making one and it didn't turn out very good. So I used a ceramic head and it was actually poured and still wet. And I had to recreate a lot of that after it and then get it fired, so it's harder than it ever was.
Interesting process, no doubt about it. And then it's now available for viewing again, because you did that how many years after it had happened?
Like 12 years.
Okay.
It was in 91 when it got back in there.
Okay. And so now where can people see that?
It was taken back to the school, and some of the teachers that were teaching when I was there were actually at the open house.
Excellent.
And he got put back, but they built a new school and put him in the library. Didn't really fit in there. They didn't really think about displaying like they had before in the other building. So he got moved to the museum.
Okay, in Flanders.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and some people there knew I had done it and contacted me for an open house when they had an open house over the summer. So we got... I took my scrapbook in there.
That's excellent. And you allowed me to take a look at that scrapbook, and certainly phenomenal to see it from what had happened. What do you feel when somebody destroys or vandalizes art? That's got to hurt you as an artist, doesn't it?
I think it was an accident on this behalf, from what I've been told. And I didn't want to pursue anybody responsible for it, because I don't think it was done intentionally. And I just kind of left it at that and continued my work. And
so Americana, because you know you've got 16th President Abraham Lincoln, you restored that statue, but also you love painting eagles and so forth, don't you?
Yes.
What started that?
A couple years ago I needed Christmas presents and just had a storage room and converted it to more of a studio and just kept painting.
I understand that the storage room you have for your studio is neither air conditioned nor heated.
No. So it's kind of a challenge over the summer to get in there.
Right.
Go early and spend an hour or so, and then it's getting kind of warm.
Yeah.
So.
But what drives you as an artist then? What do you seek to do every time you step into the studio?
Well, now I've got some little more ambition to get over there because I've got some commission stuff to work on. And knowing that I don't have to try to sell it, they're pretty much already sold. That helps a lot.
What was the first painting you sold or first piece of art you sold? Do you remember it and how much you got and what the feeling was like?
I gave one away and it went to Alaska. It was lost on the... flight up there, but they eventually got it and opened it up, and it was one that was the guy at the counter offered her $500 for. She still has it,
right?
But it was a Gunsight Mountain, kind of a Bob Ross type painting.
Who did you learn from?
Who did I learn from?
Yeah. Or are you more self-taught than anything?
Donna Hendrickson was one of my art teachers many years ago, and she taught me a lot. But I went on to commercial art after that and always dabbled in painting and other creative stuff.
What's it take to be a commercial artist versus a visual artist, you know, doing fine art work?
Totally opposite.
How so?
Designing business cards and ads and stuff like that is way different than I'm using the concepts for painting, doing thumbnails, expanding from that. So that probably helps a little bit.
But I would guess that when it comes to the commercial, you know, designing a business card and so forth, the client's already coming in with a lot of ideas on that, aren't
yes.
they? Yeah. So then it comes to you when it's when you're doing your visual, you know, art for yourself to be able to sell and, you know, have some extra money and so forth and yeah. get some pride out of what you do.
Yeah.
That has to have its own idea where it flickers. What do you see during the day and so forth that you go, you know, I'm going to paint that.
There's an idea. Yeah, I look at things like photography. You want to know where the background is, what's in a picture. If you get down to their eye level or lower, higher, whatever, you have to kind of picture that too.
Yeah. What do you think is a good explanation of modern art?
Explanation of modern art?
You know, we have the classic styles we know of, Renoir, Monet, and so forth, but modern art, how would you describe it?
How would I describe modern art? You kind of like these questions.
I do. I get like, you know, one tough one in per interview.
I don't really consider myself as a modern artist, more abstract, because I can, if you can look in it and see a picture that I did not create, helps.
Right.
Like the abstracts, they pull them in. That is kind of pleasing to me when they come up with, I see this, or I see trees, I see this, lakes, water. That adds to it. And I just want to keep doing that.
Take us through the process. You said you work off of some thumbnails and so forth. To get to a point of a finished painting, let's do two examples. First of all, let's say you're painting an eagle and so forth. Take us through that process, and then take us through the abstract as well.
I kind of steal some ideas for I don't want to copy what somebody else has done,
right.
But I can use my techniques, and I can't copy it that way anyway.
Yeah.
For a background, if you want this sky, this mountain, these trees, you can add that, and then you can bring stuff into the foreground that's totally different. Makes it, and won't even look like recognizable. Yeah.
But do you do sketches of that first before you start to paint, or what's your process?
I've even painted smaller versions of what I want in that painting so I know what it's going to look like, because I don't want to start on a big painting and change it. Once you've that far into it, it's easier to do sketching, littler stuff. I did a flying car, and I said, well, it only has two engines and I need three for what I want. So
all right.
It helps.
Okay, so then the abstract, do you start off with any thumbnail type thing in work at all? Or do you just put the canvas up on the easel and pull out the paint?
I always have a picture of kind of what I want in my head, or even a copy, my thumbnails there with some coloring that I want to keep with that. Because I don't want to lose from the blue or the green and make all that in there. There's always my studio, I call the ER, is Ed's room.
Ed's room.
It's not a mess. There's just ideas everywhere.
Yeah. How many things do you have up on the wall right now in your studio then? Rough guesstimate.
There's hundreds, because I have a
wow
door that has a chain on it, and you can actually binder clip pictures to it.
Okay.
And notes all around it. And my paint hangs from there. On the easels, that you can binder clip pictures and notes up along them, higher up, so you have references.
What's been the most fun you've had creating?
I had to paint a window. There was a window at work, and it turned out to be a sunset with an eagle flying over it, and it was 6 feet wide. It's quite an undertaking. Took up most of my studio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to get it out of there. But, it was challenging and fun.
Yeah. Would you like to do bigger pieces? Would you like to do, you know, like a wall mural or something along that line?
Not at this point. I want to keep it under the 6 feet.
Okay. Something that fits in the studio, right?
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to as art continues to grow and more people learn about it and get educated by it?
I like getting together with a think tank. I did a group, South Dakota Living Artists, and we got together just to talk, to figure out where everybody was at, what worked, and where are you selling, what's selling. And there was a variety of people in there at all levels. And it was kind of fun just to hear what their stories were.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you've had some showings. Where else are you looking to show or hope to show as well?
Well, this think tank, we've got some ideas we're brewing. And hopefully with the art gallery, they said they were going to help the Van Art Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have some talking to go over, negotiating.
What's your advice to young artists?
Keep going.
Just do it?
Just do it.
Yeah, kind of like Nike, huh? Yeah.
If I don't like it, I paint over it.
Well, you know, that's the thing. We forget about that, don't we? You know, so do you ever get discouraged or do you just not worry about it because you have that in your back pocket?
Just going over top. Paintings at home that did not work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still sitting there. And I know it and I like to look at them. They're there still. And I know I can just go over them to forget about them.
Yeah.
And move on.
Move on. Excellent. All right. Well, again, let's hit back on the think tank that's coming up on September 25th.
Yes. September 25th at 6120 North Phillips Avenue. That's going to be just artists gathering to talk about stuff and maybe brewing up some more ideas. And the art studio is going to possibly be doing some classes. So that's going to be more thinking.
Yeah. And again, bring a chair and a beverage.
Yes.
If you'd like. Yeah.
Yes.
And you're going to try to keep it to around an hour?
We'll keep it to an hour and we'll plan another meeting.
Sounds good. All right. We look forward to that. Edward Ike, it's been a pleasure again. You know, this when we counted down to start the recording of it, we said take two. Three, two, one. So I appreciate you know, having the extra time to be able to do this. And wish you the best when it comes to your art, as well as generating more activity within the arts community.
We're going to keep it all going.
All right. We look forward to it. We'll be back to wrap up the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again for listening. No matter if you're listening, you're downloading, streaming, whichever, it doesn't make that big of a difference to me. I just want to make sure that we get the word out about great artists and entertainers in the Sioux Empire. And thank you to those two that were on today. Author Roland Wengert. You will find him out at SuperCon later this month. Well, actually, October 1 is when it starts. And then Edward Ike. He has some things in the works and will probably be having another showing coming up soon, as well as what he mentioned about all the artists that they want to get together just to find out what's working, where to show things, so that they can, you know, further their talents as well. So thank you to them. Thanks again to the Sky Lounge for allowing us to hold those conversations in their back room, which is where I will be tomorrow night. Yes, the ruggedly handsome trivia host is back at the Sky for football trivia. Hope to see you there. And if not there, then perhaps we will see you on Saturday night out at Red Rock in Rowena. Our old friends, well, I can say that because they are older than me. Mogan's Heroes will be playing at a benefit for a couple hours. And then later in the evening,
The crazy one himself, Frank Anderson, Crazy Frank Karaoke, starting up at 8 o'clock on Saturday night at Rowena. The Red Rock will be there. All right. Thanks again. Appreciate it, everybody. Have yourself a wonderful week ahead. There's so many things coming up in the next week in terms of arts and entertainment. We will try to keep you abreast of all of them. So stay tuned to the Facebook page, Dave Holly Hour Facebook page. Also, DaveHollyHour.com or DaveHolly.com. Talk to you again next Thursday. Remember, I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.